Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Thursday Lulz, fun show today. A couple of big-time guests. We got our guys from ETR, who launched the college football product recently, Fear My Turtle, and of course, PSU fans. They heard us talking about them a couple weeks ago. We were kind of doing some ballparking on what kind of arrangement would lead to them heading to ETR and launching this product, so we're going to get the lowdown from them. And then later, we are going to have Justin Freeman from Run the Sims. We've obviously been talking about all the sim wars going on right now. He's going to let us know what RTS is up to in that regard. So, you know, lo and behold, we got a classic Hand Builders versus Opto Bro show here on Lulz. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Right, it's Lulz with my host Brian Hooper. We got Fear My Turtle and PSU fans here. Normally it's Davis Maddock who's kind of like riding my coattails and getting my leftover sloppy seconds on guests. You guys did already do the take cast, but I guess in this instance we can come on and I can get Davis's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, we did Davis's show. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. He asked us if we wanted to do something because he knew what was coming through the pipeline. We said sure, might as well. I think that's like my third appearance with Davis. I think I've done three or four with you. So it's definitely a situation where I've done quite a few with both of you guys.
Yeah, we've done some DFS shows over the years. Although, Alex, this is my my first show with you. How are you doing?
Doing well. I really only play DFS so I can win the Millie Maker and come on Lulz. So I kind of found a loophole there. So I can just like retire and be happy. So, but it's nice to join you.
Yeah, you did really kind of pull a fast one over on us because Brian and I, we do a pretty good job millionaires only on this show. Brian, are you okay with this exception we making or is this a slippery slope?
Yeah, well, the whole reason for the Millie Makers is just to say no to people and allow the people we actually want on when we feel like it. Yeah.
So yeah, because I know it was a couple weeks ago, we were kind of talking about stuff. Run Pure has been loading up, adding multiple new contributors. And then around the same time, ETR brought you guys over. I am curious because I did listen to you guys on the Takecast, but was that something where you guys approached ETR about this idea? Did they approach you? Obviously, I know you guys are friendly with all those guys over there, but how did that sausage get made?
Yeah, like I've talked to people beforehand. Like I've done a lot of stuff with ETR. Like I started in the industry, I don't know, 8-9 years ago doing stuff with Labs, which then turned into Action Network, which then turned into not doing anything for a while, which then turned into I did stuff with Established Run for XFL and preseason before. Then we joined Roto Grinders, where I still went out and did some stuff with ETR. So we've always been in communication with different people. And like you said, like we know quite a few people in the industry. So it's more so how things come about. But yeah, the whole thing was that started from a niche perspective was basically during the pandemic. We were doing a bunch of League of Legends. We were doing a bunch of like Korean soccer and like Korean baseball. We did a bunch of stuff. But so a lot of the sports that started back up quickly were the niche sports. So we had the RG guys reached out to us like years ago during the pandemic. And they're like, hey, we think there's a opening in the industry for something like this. Are you guys interested? And they approached me. And so I reached out to Alex and him and I talked about it. And that's how it all sort of got started from there.
Alex, did you guys consider trying to spin up your own site? Because that was obviously something we were kind of discussing of like, hey, you know, you can do this with another site. Is it, would it be worth more to you guys to do it on your own? Clearly you guys saw value as being part of the ETR kind of distribution network.
Yeah. I mean, we see massive value. It'd be tough to sell subs on our own, really. Like we think what we do with college football is really solid and fits in with the brand of what ETR does, trying to be the best at everything. So I think people trust the ETR brand and that really brings in new opportunities, new customers for us, as opposed to trying to go out on our own. Yeah, and really that's something we had talked about. Like, I was looking for a different arrangement, really. Like, I think Brian alluded to on the, one of the previous shows, like, we were doing a lot of different things with RG, and RG is under like a publicly traded company. Like, resourcing is always a challenge in those types of environments. So, like, we were just looking for something different, evaluating all options. And when this opportunity presented itself, I think it was kind of a no-brainer, just with kind of the brand value that ETR is established into in the community.
Brian, do you have any follow-up questions, any other burning ones that you've been losing sleep over since we were trying to ballpark some stuff before?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I've got some questions you probably don't want to answer.
Try them.
No, I mean, I'll say that, like, your speculations in the previous podcast, they're in the general ballpark of things. Obviously, we can't disclose specifics, but yeah, I mean, I think you're on the right track.
What was RG compensating you? What were they paying you?
I mean, a pretty decent salary.
Yeah.
Like, you could support a family on it. So it wasn't necessarily a money thing. To me, it was a lifestyle thing. And that's one of the luxuries of actually running good in DFS and having some options open, is to kind of maybe take less money overall for, like, just like a better work-life balance. That was a big part of it.
Yeah, some clarity with that is, I know you guys talked about it before and, like, the scope that we would be under. So I'll just give you an example, like a 2-week stretch that I had last year. So during the World Cup in the fall and college football season, so Thanksgiving week, there was like a 2-week window where they heavily overlapped. My day consisted of waking up at 4 a.m. to update stuff for the World Cup. And I stayed on my computer till 10 p.m. at night for 2 weeks straight. So I put in like 2 weeks straight of 18-hour days. And it was just, I was a zombie. Like, I literally was not functioning as a human. I'm like, I don't know how long I can do this. But yeah, you guys talked about it before with, like, winning players, and, like, a lot of touts aren't winning players. But we are lucky enough to be in the group that has been a winning player. So
for now,
RG compensation was definitely enough where you could have that as your only job, not play DFS, and you're completely content. Similarly, though, like, over the last 5 or 6 years, like, typically that is not the most of my income where it comes from playing DFS, and the touting part is just a nice addition on top of that.
The element chess is okay would be impressed by how many hours you're putting in there. And that is the other thing about it too, and kind of what, you know, we're going to be talking about the sim stuff. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I asked Brian how he came up with a play or a lineup, and he says he pressed a button. You guys are getting your hands dirty. The stuff you do takes a ton of like manual labor, essentially, to arrive at the stuff. And now that you guys are doing college football, right? I mean, how many teams are there that you guys even have to cover? Like, I think of even like the NFL, and I get overwhelmed managing the industry in all the injuries and the team depth charts. Like, it seems like a gargantuan effort for college football.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't need to know everything. You just need to know more than your opponent, obviously, which is the nice thing. Yeah, there's 133 FBS teams in college football, but they're all not going to be on a slate in a given week. But I mean, it really comes down to, out of all the DFS sports cover, I enjoy the process of college football more than any other, just like this Sunday to Friday prep process. And we've been refining that for years of playing, and I think we have a pretty good process in place. There's a lot of room to make improvements. There's a changing landscape in college sports with all the transfer stuff, so you have to think about your, like, rankings and your numbers differently, adjusting year to year. So to me, it's interesting, it stays interesting, and it's a process I really like. So if I just hunker down, work, put in a lot of hours in the fall, and have a lot of the other months of the year free, that's pretty appealing to me.
I just did the math, Pete. It's 126 hours a week. We have a new record holder. This is why chess is okay. Just probably retired. You can't put in 126 a week.
Don't give Sean any job with a timesheet. He's gonna light your ass up.
No. It was a 2-week stretch, and I was a zombie. I was literally walking around my house, and I was just like, I can't do this again. It was a pretty horrendous 2 weeks in my life, I'm not gonna lie.
Do you know how many, because one thing we were kind of wondering about in, like, the dynamic of you guys joining ETR is, like, how many people, like, they're just existing NFL DFS subs or NBA subs that were like, oh, now they're offering this. Yeah, they do good work, I'll join that, versus people coming over specifically for your college football product. I assume there are people from RG who were familiar with you that are like, okay, I want that product. I'm going to just go get it over here. But do you guys have any feel for kind of the split that's been coming in on that so far?
Yeah, I have no actual data, but my initial guess would be like at least 80-20 on like the ETR side. Like we're selling into the ETR subscriber base more so than our RG fans, if you will. Mm. But Sean, what do you think?
I would say it's maybe a little closer. It's like 30-70. We've definitely seen people that we know are familiar with us from RG. And then we also know that a lot of people are familiar with us via the ETR brand, and that's why they're coming to us. But yeah, it's one of those things. I think a lot of people that have been within the industry with college football, like we know what we do is pretty good from a college football content perspective and what we do with projections and everything. And I think a lot of people value that and have noticed that over the years. So I think that we've definitely been able to keep some people that have been there. I know Brick mentioned last time that he's used us in the past. Hope to see him again. I know you made a joke that you're going to have to borrow some money, or you're going to have to play preseason slates to get the funds up. So hopefully we see you in there. But yeah, like we're very, very care about what we put out for our customers. Like we want everyone to have good info. We want everyone to be able to utilize it. That said, obviously, everyone that uses info can't necessarily put the pieces together with that info. So some people will obviously struggle with it, but other people we think will do pretty well. We've seen people utilize it well in the past a lot of the time.
Go ahead, Brian.
Pete's going to borrow me some money, and I'm going to sign up before, you know, football doesn't start till Saturday, I believe. So I'll be there. Football, Pete, I mean, college football, that is. I'm not sure how familiar you are with it. The way I do it anyways is you actually do have to be on these Discords. And, like, I would never post because I'm too big time, but I would troll you. I'm kidding. But I would read all your guys' posts on RG and stuff. And it's tough. You can't do, like, the old, 2017 DFS aggregate projections, in my opinion, because – It's that info is really important in college sports, where, like, Pete, you probably have a really good idea how many carries Rashad White's going to get, you know, or something like that. Not even you, just like, yeah, like just anyone, the collective, you know, kind of, yeah, who's a football fan. And not in college football, like there's a lot of who's even going to start at QB. And like the backup QB might be a guy who's projected pretty well. Like it's I mean, there's no way I could pay attention to that much data. So, like, I just do my thing, and then I see who I'm getting, and then I look at, like, all the question marks that they talk about in the Discord. I don't know how you guys are going to – I'm assuming you guys are going to be in ETR's Discord doing something similar like that. So, like, I'd be surprised, like Alex was saying, 80-20. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more people coming over, because you can't just, like, aggregate the projections and then, like, these guys don't know the backup QB is going to start today, and these guys do. Like, that's not how it works. Like in the MLB or one of the major sports where news is more, accessible, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, what we try to do is just like present the scenario. This is the information we know. This is what we think. We're not going to know until kickoff. You have to make your own decision based on these factors. So like you said, like the projections, the number, it may not change, but you need, like, providing the context of how it could change is a big part of it. So, yeah, definitely a different animal than NFL.
Yeah, I'll give a good example with it last year. So last year at the end of the year, there was a Georgia Southern game at the end of the year, and their receiver was 3K, Stoneman. The last 3 weeks, he had 15 targets a game. So obviously that's going to be a great play at the Stoneman because he's just going to produce. And on Saturday, I had the Georgia Southern pregame radio show on. And actually, shout out to Bruce from Run Pure. He also did. But so anyways, they announced on the pregame radio show that this receiver was not going to play. It was nowhere in the industry. And the guy ended up being 60% owned. And then there ended up being drama later that people were complaining it didn't happen. So Scorpion McScorp asked, why should someone pay $350 a season for college football when a lot of the info is free? I'd argue that not a lot of the info is free, but if you think it is, then that could be said for any DFS sport, right? Like all the info is out there for everything. You just have to do it. But the answer is what Brick said, is that you might not have time to sit there and dig through 25 different forums to try to find bits and pieces of it, of the information. And even us, like, we're going to not see everything. It's impossible to see everything because on a given week, it's impossible to see every single player on every single team. But like one type of information like that could be worth the subscription price for a decade if it's in the right situation. And just in general, like, we're able to put together a lot of information and save you a lot of time. So I think the answer to why someone should pay the price to do it is, I think that it's a time saver for everyone involved. Most people can't spend 12 hours a day looking through different areas to try to find the information that we're able to help provide. So I think that's one of the good reasons why it's worth it to pay that type of price.
It's kind of a silly question. It's like saying, why would you pay a plumber to come to your house and fix your pipes? All the information is available on YouTube. I could watch YouTube videos on how to do it. Well, one, I don't have the time to do it. Two, I'm not a professional at it. And three, this is going to save me a lot of time not watching YouTube videos.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, and college football, there's a lot of slates too. So if you just like, if you don't have to play every day, like starting in October, they play I think they're playing Tuesdays this year too. So we'll have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we'll have two full different slates on Saturday on DK, and then all the side slates. So, I mean, there's a lot of different options to play, and you can pick and choose the time frames that work for you. So again, back to the time aspect, it's another reason, since we're covering every slate, yeah, you can just pick and choose when to play.
I think the first half of that question is a valid one. The second half's I'll talk about it in a second. The first half of the question, actually, we're probably going to talk about quite a bit on our next show next week. Like, just how much money in this day and age should people realistically spend on certain things, simulation software, yeah, blah, 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 in this current DFS climate. But we can talk about that next week. But the information being free, I'm trying to think of like Fantasy Pros or something like that who does like NFL projections. It's almost a valid argument, but for college football, it's not, in my experience, because not only is it like who's starting, is the backup QB starting, these guys are also helping out like a key thing will be like an RB who they don't really know who's going to get the carries. And so like, regardless of your projection source, that's probably, if he's slightly chalky, that's pretty obvious fade, you know, or something like that, just from like a hand builder or whatever, just thinking about it for a second. And if they're going like, I could see it going, you know, 15 carries, 12 carries or reverse the other way, the free information sites are not going to come. They're not going to give you that. And I know I'm like shilling ETR's product here, but like,
you're going soft on us today, Brian. Come on. I was expecting,
let me say this. I don't know everyone's sources out there too either, but I would say even any other subscription site that's good, college football makes a lot of sense if you're going to go the free route. And we'll talk about like not the 350 from their product, but just how much should someone pay a lot. I think we could talk about that next week unless you guys have comments on it, but whatever.
No, I mean, I think it's one of those things too, is you guys have mentioned that like a lot of touts aren't profitable or aren't really winning players. And so like sometimes people are paying for information from maybe people that aren't most successful. Alex and I have been doing this for a long time and are very, very successful. Like you can notice, like it's very unlikely that a lot of sports that you see out there with DFS, like there's not people that are like the top people in the industry that are providing content and information for those specific sports. Well, as we are doing that for college football. So it's definitely a tricky thing. And again, like, I mean, if it all depends what you said. So the watcher said not really comparable to plumbing when the risk of messing up do-it-yourself plumbing project is catastrophic. I argue if you screw up a lot of college football stuff and you're playing a lot of money in action, it could be catastrophic too. So it could work. But I totally understand. Like if people decide they don't want content or don't want any additional help from what they do themselves, totally get it. Like I'm someone that doesn't really use a lot of other content in the industry outside of my stuff and what I do. But not everyone's the same. And I definitely understand where people come from that perspective.
And I feel like one thing too, and why you guys are probably getting so many, you know, people who wouldn't otherwise consider playing college football diving in, is because I think ETR does a good job with the packaging too. And the idea of the show, the Discord, the top plays, there's just kind of a like, hey, they're going to have me covered. I don't have to spend all week grinding all this stuff. I'm going to show up and I'm going to have a nice head start. Doesn't mean that you don't have to work. Doesn't mean that you don't have to be following things closely on your own, but you provide like a bedrock of research and information that really shortcuts the process. One thing I am curious about, you know, going back to, obviously you guys were weighing the pros and cons probably of like where to provide this. You know, you mentioned that, I don't know if you guys considered doing it on your own, but one dynamic that I think is interesting is like, you guys have built up this audience at RG, people who come to you for this information, then you leave and like outside of what, your Twitter account, you don't have really any way to like target these guys. I assume you don't have an email list for them. It was kind of like the Hoop thing with RPS, right? He had this like audience, all these people who subbed for his stuff. Then he leaves. He's like shut out of his own site. Doesn't even have a way to contact these people. Obviously coming on Lulz gets the word out a little bit, but like, how did you guys think of that element too? And do you think about it going forward of like, again, not saying that you're not going to have a long tenure at ETR, but just knowing like the people that are there for you, that you don't control the means of communicating with them.
Yeah, I think that's just something you have to accept, and it's part of the business. And that's why ETR was so appealing, because we felt like even without that direct line and our mailing list or anything like that, that they would appropriately market and sell this product into their existing customer base. So yeah, it wasn't really a huge concern. I think we considered actually just playing for ourselves more so than starting our own product. So if we would have gone on our own, it would have been just playing our own stuff and not selling anything.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Brian. Did you think about asking RG, like, hey, we got this offer from ETR. Can we sell a subscription out here and just do college football?
No, I mean, the problem is like, just like, if you're working within like a controlled, like corporate environment, almost, it's not like it was where we're just like negotiating like independent contractor. Like we are like a salary that has this scope. And
I'm assuming Cardi has a deal like that.
I mean, yeah. Well, Cardi's special. We're not special. No. I'm just saying, like, it really wasn't a big thought. Like, once we kind of made our mind up that we were going to try to find a different arrangement, I think we left on great terms. I love the guys at RG. Dan Bach's been awesome. Grandfather of DFS. So, yeah, wish them the best. They're a bunch of great group guys.
Yeah, and we definitely talk about it each year. Like, each year we would discuss, and I know this is something that Brian brought up, I believe, on the last show when this sort of all came together, but each year we would talk and we'd be like, all right, do we want to stay here? Do we want to look elsewhere? Or like, what do we want to do? And then it was like, do we want to not do anything? Because it was a definite discussion of like, are we hurting ourselves by providing content and doing stuff and just playing on our own? And we've looked at that each year and sort of discussed. Obviously it's difficult to fully quantify like how much it impacts things, so it's difficult. But to Brian's question, what he talked about previously of like, why do good DFS players tout? For us, it's one of those things is, if we are touting, we have to put together a good product. It forces us to make sure that we are doing things at the best of our ability. And what I found for myself is that if I am providing content and projections for people, that I am definitely not going to cut any corners. I'm definitely not going to cut any corners and do things poorly. I'm going to do it as good as possible because that is important to me. So it's one of those things for me, at least personally, I found that the reason I tout and the reason I like to do it is because it forces me to be as good of a DFS player as I can physically be, because it forces me to spend 60, 70 hours a week doing stuff instead of like, oh, hey, I want to go to a movie. I'm going to go to a movie and not do stuff. It forces me to not do that stuff, which again, though, is why we've sort of ended up at ETR, and we both like college football. That's our main passion right now. That's what Alex and I prefer. In the past, I would play every single slate of like every sport that I played every day of the week, 365 days a year. Back then I was 25, lived by myself in an apartment, had no worries in the world.
You almost said at home, but
I was at home, but I moved out around then. So, you know, I kind of moved out. But now I'm married, have a couple dogs, have a kid on the way. So it's a thing where I'm able to give up some of the work balance for some life balance, which to me is important right now.
I assume like with your guys' arrangement, like you have upside incentives, right? Like the more you sell, were there ways for you guys feeling like more invested in it versus, because when you talk about like the lifestyle stuff, a lot of times I feel like that always dovetails with like a floor and like a safety and feeling like, hey, I'm going to get this, I can expect this. Or is like your guys' compensation completely tethered to how many subs you sell?
Yeah. So our previous compensation with RotoGrinders actually changed. With at the beginning, we were on like a rev share. I think maybe it was a full rev share, maybe it was a rev share and salary. And then we turned into like full-time employees because they wanted to bring us in fully under the umbrella because of the way the corporate structure was working. And then with like ETR, it was sort of a thing where we were able to tie in a bunch of best worlds that fit in with what we were doing. But so like, instead of me having to sit there for 2 hours a day doing League of Legends stuff, for Alex to have to sit there for 2 hours doing soccer, Alex have to sit there at like 12 a.m. on a Tuesday night waiting for DraftKings to post tennis slate, we're able to just focus on college football and stuff. So I wouldn't say it's as much as like a floor and ceiling type of thing as we just saw it as a possibility that we could do well here with what they provide and what our thoughts are with ETR, and then also not work ourselves 100 hours a week, 12 months of the year. So the idea is like, obviously we're planning to work 80 hours a week or so during fall, but then maybe during like March, I'm going to be able to go for a 2 week vacation somewhere, not have to worry about anything. Whereas with RG, we would always have responsibilities or obligations that we had to make sure were covered or do ourselves while we were on a trip.
Mm-hmm. How many subs, you guys had to do the math in your head. How many subs did you guys think you were going to get by going to ETR? Like, you guys had to run the math, like 500,000, what?
I mean, I thought it was an extremely wide range.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a potential it could totally flop. There's a potential it could actually way outperform what we think. So, I mean, I thought that the range was humongous. So to me, there wasn't much. Yeah, it was a total unknown. Like, we're going to find out whether like a single sport and like niche offering is viable in this market through this kind of experiment. But we'll see.
Your guys' range was like 150 to 250.
I think that was something like that.
Our range we thought was higher than that. Yeah. We were pretty confident our range was higher than that. But like Alex said, the range was really wide. And we really had no idea what it was going to be because we don't know the ins and outs of the ETR world. And we also don't know exactly what we were having from purely college football people at RotoGrinders. Because the way that it was packaged at RotoGrinders, it makes sense to have everything and not just like college football.
Did they tell you how many subs they have for all their other sports and stuff like that?
I don't think so.
Did you guys negotiate at all? You asked any information at all?
I've done preseason with them before, and I was familiar with like how many preseason subs they had. So I was able to like be like, okay, if they had this amount of subs for the preseason, college football season is bigger, but also weirder because it's longer. So I was like, I don't know exactly what we can get, but I was at least able to. Because I don't think the NFL product is like a good comparison, right? Because the NFL product is NFL. Whereas like preseason, I thought at least had some comparison. So we were able to think about the preseason numbers. But then we're sitting here, like we started it, like we opened it August 1st. And we're sitting there like the end of July. Alex is like, he's like, what's your thoughts going to be if we have like 25 subs by August 30th? I'm like, I'm going to be a really depressed individual if that's the case.
Right. So, well, one thing I think I was trying to hint at asking about like how your thing is structured is like how incentivized you are to market on your own. Cause like, both of you guys have a Twitter, but I don't consider either of you like prolific Twitter users or like, you know, huge marketers in the way we see screenshot marketing in the space. So I'm just wondering, like, we see what JBFC, right? He joins Rumpier, used to just, you know, kind of shitpost, and now it's Screenshot City because like clearly his deal is incentivizing him to get subs on Rumpier. Is that the case for you guys, or is your thing just set up, hey, we're going to let the ETR monolith do the marketing for us?
Yeah, I mean, they have professionals at ETR that do these things and they're very good at it. To me, I'm just going to let the consistency and the quality of the product speak for itself. And that's what we kind of always have done. So yeah, I'm never going to be one of those guys that it's going to sit there and beg for people to sign up on Twitter and post screenshots. Although Sean makes me post them sometimes.
I do. Well, yeah. Well, so to answer your question, though, the answer is yes. If we did screenshot and stuff, it would be better for us. Right. But I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm just not going to sit there and screenshot everything that I do. So Alex won the College Football World Championship last year and then won what was the equivalent of the College Basketball World Championship. So he won both. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, are you going to post anything? He's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, I think you should post this. So I have a strict rule for myself that is like, I won't screenshot anything over or under like, I don't know, 25, 50K or something. And so like, you're just not going to see screenshots from me unless I like win the big college football GPP, which I finish second all the time. So it never happens. So we're good.
Well, here's the thing. And Brian have talked over the years about how, and I know Brian doesn't screenshot at all either, but Brian also, I feel like we've talked about how we naturally feel this guilt about like bragging or promoting things that is kind of like silly. And one thing I would say, like for you guys, all three of you who are successful DFS players, if you reframe it as like, if you aren't doing it strictly even for marketing, it's the same way when someone like posts like a fish they caught or they got a new driver. I saw someone post that yesterday. It's like people who are your followers, they genuinely just kind of like care what you're up to and they know you as DFS players. And even Brian gets tagged in LOL's Discord. Congrats on the hit, you know, all of this stuff. Like people get excited to know. So almost even just as a PSA, just like letting people know, I do think we gotta, you know, you guys can, you know, not beat yourselves up so much with the screenshots.
Okay, I'll let my hair down this year. So thanks for the pep talk.
Yeah, exactly. Brian, any final words here before we bring Justin on?
Yeah, PSU mentioned, you know, he's a really good winning player. Are you good enough that former DFS pros would owe you money?
I am going to, here we go. I'll leave it this. I definitely have heard things about certain situations like that and can confirm that certain people do not owe me money. But I have done stuff with certain people in the past, and I was always promptly paid.
Okay.
But
there you go.
I do. I had heard stuff, but again, that's one of those things. I don't like to talk about stuff that's not my story to tell, and I don't feel like that one is my story to tell, so I can only give the experiences I've had.
Well, last time we did ask our guests if they were on Team Rumpier Sports or Team Ship It Nation, and they said they were legally not allowed to answer that question. Which team are you guys on, Rumpier Sports or Ship It Nation?
Oh, my God. This is like I'm
waiting for yours.
I mean, I love Tony, so I'm always going to root for Tony.
Okay.
Team Ship It. I'm on Team PSU and FMT Nation and ETR Nation. But okay, of the two options given, it's Rumpier. Like, I'm a good – Tony's a good friend of mine. I really like
Tony. Rumpier dominates.
All right, guys, it was great talking to you. Best of luck with the college football season. Anything, obviously, head to ETR. It's right there in the drop down. Anything else people should know?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
No, just follow our Twitter accounts. We don't post anything interesting. No screenshots. So yeah, appreciate the time.
Yeah,
good talk. I'll see you guys on Saturdays. All right.
We'll see you guys. We'll say goodbye here to Alex and PSU fans. We'll bring in our buddy Justin Freeman here. Justin, we had some hand builders there talking about their 100 plus hour weeks. You're just one of the sim bros, right? You press the button, it's done, you move on with your life.
Getting a little closer there all the time. Yeah, it's I've sort of wobbled on that over the years, but yeah, no, hopefully it's getting a little bit easier every day.
Brian wants to know if you got a fresh haircut.
Always, yeah. I'm now on like the every 2 or 3 weeks type of deal, high and tight.
Nice. Looking tight, yeah. Really?
Looking good. Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked to you, I think, on LOLs. Obviously, we've done a few shows about kind of all the sim wars going on. We've seen big improvements to the Saber Sim product. We had Stochastic, who launched theirs. I am curious, too, just from like your perspective, what has this been like to watch like the evolution of all the sims? And I assume you kind of saw this coming and that, you know, Run the Sims was out relatively early to some of these other products, but what do you think of the overall landscape right now?
Yeah. I mean, when we launched 2 years ago, people like from day one were saying, well, why can't your sim do this? Why can't your sim do that? That's like, everybody wanted, you know, the holy grail of DFS. And it seems like a few of our sort of like competitors, and I've always been pretty open with our competition. Like, I think there's room in the sandbox for everyone. Maybe as we, you know, dig a little bit deeper into the market and attack sort of from a bit more of a niche angle, that's not necessarily true. But yeah, like the pressure's kind of been on, the writing's been on the wall that everybody's going to start ratcheting up what their sims are capable of doing. More people are starting to do that. Everybody's embracing that. So yeah, I think it's been kind of on us to sort of take our game up a little bit as well. So really this whole summer has been about, how do we make Run the Sims like competitive in the world of contest simulations? And so that's kind of what we're excited to talk about here today.
Brian, I know you had, you know, one of the things you had talked about with the Saber Sim product is that it was getting fairly close to at least the type of process you have here. And I know we're also cooking up a show maybe in the next week or so, kind of continuing this conversation about Sims essentially destroying DFS. Are you still feeling that way right now?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about Sims, but just the overall, like the state of the union, you know, the state of gambling, the state of DFS, I think it will be kind of a general theme. But yeah, I mean, I said how many shows ago, Pete, I think the Sim Wars are on. I don't like it. I wish it was rolled back. That's not going to happen. So this is the new normal. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I alluded to this earlier with PSU and Alex. Is we're going to talk about two, I think we should bring up next week, Pete, is like just like the amount of money versus the edge you can attain in this new world. To me, seems like at a certain point, you know, if you're paying $330 for your stats package, you're paying, you know, whatever, $200 a month for your sim package and et cetera, and you have a backup optimizer you pay for, you know, and that's, and who knows what else. You know, I think it's going to be tough to justify playing this high rake, high variant GPP style, which is basically what you're going to play in Sims. Yeah. But you could do Sims in cash, but the hand builders still rule cash, in my opinion. But so, like, that's like, how much money is this going to cost? Or, like, there's just so many questions that I don't know exactly how they're going to be answered. But I mean, it is fun in the beginning to look at it and hop on early. And so, like, to see what everyone's come up with and their solutions to kind of solve this problem. And, you know, there's other people like Travis, who's going to hopefully has time to come on sometime, and he doesn't think it's a big deal. So
what do you, on that note, Justin, because, you know, we've been partnered for a couple of years. A lot of people in my Discord have used Run the Sims and are smaller players, at least from a volume and a bankroll perspective. You know, they'll use the Sims to max out the $3, 20 max stuff, and that it giving them these tools and this edge, even though they're a smaller bankroll player and not kind of, you know, gouging them, on the price of the sub. On the other hand, as the tools get more and more sophisticated, it does come up or present an interesting pricing dilemma. I assume you guys are thinking about that as you roll out more features to Run the Sims.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it'll be a premium add-on to us. I think that'll probably be similar to the way Stochastic has layered theirs on top of their existing subscription model. So, yeah, we haven't exactly settled on a price. Matter of fact, I would love to get you guys' input if you have any thoughts. But it's tough because the number of people who will pay like a significant portion of money, like as much as I think this is worth, is really quite a small number of people. And so would you rather have a lot from a few people or try to give more people more exposure to advanced level tools, take a little bit less off the top? So it's kind of an interesting break-even question that really I have no way of trying to formulate an answer to other than just sort of guessing and working backwards from that. But yeah, it's like, for a while, it seemed like the lay of the land was that all of the big sites sort of had their finger on the nuclear button and wasn't sure who was going to fire it off first in terms of, you know, offering these. I think the capability to offer these has always been there, but there's just like an ecosystem question at the end of the day. But I think the toothpaste is sort of out of the tube with this. And now it's just a matter of everybody's got to put their best product forward.
Can I say I have just a slight disagreement? I don't think they all knew how to do Sims properly. I think they hired some folks who knew how to do them. And you could tell like the variation in products and stuff about who probably had a little more expertise than others. Small disagreement, but you know, maybe noteworthy. The price, man, I don't know. I do not know. Are you doing full classic and showdown or both versions?
It is. And so the way ours is set up now, it's kind of this like, I guess what you would call like a balanced strategy in terms of like what we're going to do is we're going to give you access to 10,000. Let's do classic, for example. We'll run 10,000 simulations for you and generate the optimals off of that. So whereas I think some other sites are having you populate a dummy field, we're going to populate the dummy field for you with these optimal lineups. And so they're all like legitimate lineups that all would have won, you know, a GPP as the best possible option, at least once out of those 10,000 times. And then we'll run those through 1,000 new sims to see how they do competing against one another. So that's that like balanced strategy. It doesn't necessarily reflect ownership, which is obviously a super important angle layered on top of that. So hopefully we'll get to that some point in the middle of the season, being able to offer that where it'll adjust for ownership. But so right now it's going to pit them all against each other. We use like a smooth payout curve and a few different options to choose from there. And generate the EV when they all fight up against each other. How often does each one finish in the top 0.1%, that sort of thing. And so it's going to give you a lot of data points to make decisions, you know, filter out lineups you don't like and that sort of thing. But yeah, we do 10,000 of those for classic slates. Last year, we only did 500 and we didn't even give you the lineups. And we'll do 50,000 showdown sims this year. Last year, we did 5,000. So it's a 10x boost in terms of the number of sims. The computing power we're offering this year is like absolutely out of control in terms of how many sims and the layer of detail that we're getting into. It's pretty intense.
One thing that I think is interesting about the sim wars, right, is there's two levels to it, right? There's the quality of the sims itself, just mm-hmm. base level, how good is this? And then there is the product version, like how easy is this for people to use, how technical it is. That was one of the things about the initial stochastic one where they're like, this is pretty powerful, but man, you have to like project the entire field yourself to actually use this in a way. So like, how do you think about that? Because you've been working on the product side for a while. You guys have had a lot of time getting customer feedback, knowing how people interact with this stuff. On the other hand, you've had to have been thinking, how do we actually make these sims better? And then how do you marry that? How do you get that to a product level that's actually digestible for the user?
That's exactly right. Those are humongous obstacles. And it's, you know, probably one of the main reasons I didn't do it last year was because I couldn't quite figure out a way to ensure that everybody wasn't like duping each other and playing all the same lineups and that sort of thing. And I think luckily we've kind of stumbled on a solution that solves for that. Every time somebody reruns the Sims, they're going to get fresh sets of lineups. Like the original idea was you create these dummy fields and they're kind of static and they sit in a database somewhere. And then you can compare, you know, sort of a inserted group of lineups against those. But then everybody's going to get really, really, really similar results. Now you get fresh sims every time. Showdown, it's still maybe a smidge of a dupe problem, but you're going to get a lot of data points to help you make that decision that I think will keep people from stepping off their toes. You have different levels of sort of risk tolerance from different types of players. You'll see that like there actually is a little bit of value from some relatively chalky looking lineups in Showdown because of how high the min cash equity is, something I was not really looking for when I got into this. It's like it's gonna hit that 25% min cash line 45% of the time or something like that. It's akin to playing like a cash game with upside or something. So I was a little surprised with some of the results. But yeah, there's like still gonna be a million ways people interpret this data. Some people just print the top 50 lineups and rock and roll, you know, or 150 or whatever they're playing. So there's still a lot of functionality and a lot of flexibility. And you can still like control all the knobs and levers that you've always been able to do on Run the Sims, which is like, you disagree with us about target share. You disagree with us about, you know, who's the starting running back in Chicago. Go for it. Knock yourself out by projecting that out however you want to. You'll get lineups that bubble up that resemble the ones that you'd probably be wanting to be playing.
That's the other thing that I think is interesting. And Brian and I have talked about this as well too, with like Sims, like you're still feeding in inputs. There are still assumptions being made and you might be like, holy cow, this is a really good Sim, but those Sims are based on specific inputs. And so I do mm-hmm. think that is at least a nice wrinkle to it of being like, hey, if you disagree with this input, if you know better, if you don't think you like the base level or you have a hunch that you can go in and tweak it, because don't you think, Brian, a lot of times people just are like, it's a sim. It has to be perfect. The word simulation, that's so fancy. I'll clearly have an edge on everyone, but that's not necessarily how it works.
Yeah. The sim wars have kind of proven the tape bros right, or, you know, the guys who are doing the, you know, their own research, whatever you call them, Pete, because
hand builders.
Hand builder is a little bit different. Like you're making your lineups yourself, but you're not making you don't have to necessarily make your own projections, you know?
Yeah.
I'm saying the guys who are like, you know, bottom up, making their own projections,
okay,
watching the tape and figuring out, you know, how many snaps, you know, charting plays, et cetera, et cetera. Because the they also have, I don't know if you have this, Justin, but they have the post lock contest sim review on these on the other sites.
Yeah, we don't have that. No,
you don't have that. Okay. Well, I'm not saying you necessarily need that, but like what it shows is related to this topic that anyone who's ever worked with sims knows is that the projections rule, you know, the lineups and like the post lock EV and who they think was good and who they think doesn't. And this is, you know, we talk about this on Twitter quite a bit, where if you use your projections to review the field, it's going to show you as quite good because you did what you were supposed to. Now, it isn't necessarily going to put you at top because there's a lot of things going, interactions going on in a DFS GPP. But if you use Stochastics, then it's going to look good in their post-lock sim, but it's going to look bad in SaberSim's one and vice versa. And if you try Cardi's, it's going to, you might look bad in both of them. You might look average or something in it, and it changes. So that just goes to show you that if you can get an edge on projections, even in today's age, it's probably something worth pursuing. But somebody mentioned way earlier in the comments, but I didn't want to interrupt Justin, and they said brains are more important than sims. And I just like, if you are Travis Petty, if you are a good guy, a good player who can make your own projections, or you know, you have your own strategy and stuff, you can implement all that into a sim.
Yeah.
And get even better and get in it and then parse your own thoughts out into actual numbers. So like there's not, if you use your own projections, this is a good base for Justin's clientele, on it, honestly, is somebody who makes his own projections but doesn't want to go the full sim, doesn't understand R or anything like that, or Python. And then you could sign up for these sites. So, like, it just helps you.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It's garbage in, garbage out. It always has been, always will be. Like, and I know, like, where some of the weak points are in our current sim methodology. We're trying our best to, like, iterate through and make them as seamless as possible. But, like, there's going to be things that you're not accounting for. Like, I mean, one thing that comes to mind is, like, backup quarterback. I have no way currently to say, like, I don't currently have, like, an injury flag in our sims that says there's a 0.1% chance that every time Geno Smith drops back, he breaks his ankle and it's Drew Lock in for the rest of the game. Like, I know I could add that. It just hasn't been a priority yet.
Have you considered hiring Siege to maybe kind of tackle that backup quarterback angle for you guys?
He's looking for a job, dude.
We're working on it. Maybe I'll find him on Upwork before it's all over with.
Somebody's got to hire Siege. Come on. He won't follow me. The man refuses to follow me on Twitter, but I still support Siege being hired.
Sorry, continue your thought.
I had done the injury stuff.
Like, you got to – like brains over sims, like I'd say a brain's not scalable in the way that a sim is. Like a sim's going to take what's in your brain and calculate it out in a way that's, you know, super objective and helps layer in all the nuance that are probably also inputs in your own brain and bring it all to the surface. And if it cannot do that, then that's simply a weakness in that particular sim. And that's right. One that will iterate and get better over time.
And so like, yeah, exactly. So they could say, well, I do this one thing with my lineups. It's like, well, then you could put that into your process if if you're coding yourself or hire somebody. Yeah. So like, there's pretty much nothing you can't do with additional code. I had something to say too, Justin. I forgot what it was. What were we just talking about, Pete? It's probably
talking about the injury. It was the injury.
Oh, injury. Thank you. Stuff. Yeah. I've done that before with some of my personal sims. And giving injury feeds, it like if they're all equal, like running backs have all the same chance, it doesn't matter. So like you'd have to make judgments on injury choices to really influence it. And if you like said like let's say there's a 4% chance every running back gets the, like starting running backs get hurt and stuff like that, it basically worsens the chalk just slightly. But like if you don't have some sort of process for determining differences in injuries, I mean, you could do it like you expect quarterbacks get sacked more frequently. So like, then there's a higher likelihood that they could hurt themselves, you know, stuff like that you could put in there. And so like, that would matter. Like that does matter. But like, if you're just going like a blanket, you know, 1.7% injury chance on all RBs, it doesn't matter. Like in my experience.
Yeah, the maybe better example of where like there should be a fork in the road in terms of what the sim does is like a fragile RB room where, yeah, take the Bears, for example. Like if we think it leans a little bit to Khalil Herbert, but it could be Deontay Foreman or it could be Roshan Johnson, and you'd rather it just pick a guy but interchange who that guy is with some degree of like proportion, that's something that's not currently happening with us that I'd like to see us get into, is adding some of those fragility if-thens into those situations. We currently don't have a really good interface for being able to offer that type of flexibility to a user. So while I can like code it up on sort of our back-end sims, I can't give like too many ifs and thens to a consumer to go in and make their own rules, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Question for both of you, because it's almost like the word sim has been so normalized that it almost like seems easy. But clearly there's like a lot of work both on like the technical aspect of just even like creating a sim, and then obviously like the improving it. I'm sure there's like new coding skills that you're needing to learn. Like, what are both of you guys doing just purely from your own like educational standpoint to keep up in this arms race, knowing, hey, there's other big brains out here who are trying to build better and bigger sims as well?
For me, it's a matter of like, honestly, like staring out the window and thinking about the logic that goes into making it all work. Because the second you think you have like sort of one method figured out, you realize the weaknesses in it. And there really is, there's no perfect way to go about doing it. You plug a hole over here, you create a hole over there. So mostly it's like just a whole, it's taken me 2 years to think of how to do it this way. And so it really is tough. But I mean, other than that, I've learned to learn how to read a lot of our code a lot better than I used to. I'm not the one actually going in and typing in the script and everything, but luckily with me and ChatGPT, we've been a pretty good combo of figuring out exactly what's going on. And I think like, you know, you talk about skills and the next economy and that sort of thing. The ability to like clearly articulate to a coder type person what exactly you want to accomplish is a really difficult thing to execute. And that's always going to be a problem, especially if that person's not intimately familiar with football or Sims or whatever it is that you've got. I'm sure Brian's probably going through that too, where it can be tough to communicate this idea that seems really clear in your head to some other person who doesn't know it as well.
Amen.
that amen sounds like a man who has gone back and forth over email and messages with coders and run into a few dead ends. Brian, yeah. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, I got a comment on our boy Travis in the chat.
Yeah,
the man he's just like, he wins all the money and then he calls everyone stupid. It's such a good life this guy leads.
Shouldn't Petty though, if Petty's, you know, team brain over Sims and Sims are only going to get you so far, shouldn't he be championing the Sims movement? Get everyone using Sims. There you go.
Can we get him as a paid spokesman? That'd be great.
That's exactly. I mean, it is funny though. It's like, we can only come up with like, how many Travis Petties of there of the DFS world are there that can actually pull this off and win a battle against the Sims in that specific contest that they're playing?
Yeah, I mean, like, you think about like MLB, right? Like, can anyone beat Cardi's numbers? Like, I mean, maybe Cardi's a complete charlatan and he doesn't know anything about stats and he's just making these numbers up every day. I highly doubt it, though. I think like he's been spending, you know, 10, 15 years working on one system to try to predict the numbers in baseball. And so, like, I don't see how you can. I mean, I have a lot of experience in this, and it's like, I'm like, what kind of edge am I going to get? I'm not saying the edge wouldn't be worth money. It is. Clearly, like I said earlier, the Sims shows that. But like, spending all that time to beat these guys, like, we got PSU putting in 126 hours a week, people, you know?
Yeah, it, you know, one thing that you mentioned, can you beat Cardi's numbers? I was listening to Blender had Peter Jennings on his podcast the other day, and I was listening to them, and he was talking about, you know, people getting overconfident with an edge in the sports betting market, specifically with like an individual player prop projection, because they're like, hey, I'm using Cardi's number and like it's showing just immense value here. And they were both making the point that in the same way a sports book that has a whole buffet of offerings, they have a large surface area and they can't give their intense focus to every single line. Cardi also has that issue with his projections, like the MLB player pool, that's a large surface area. And they were basically making the point that there's probably just as likely of an error in his projection system on that one specific input or whatever that is showing up and showing value than it is that the market is entirely wrong. And I think it goes back to that thing of just projections in general, right? Like you can have good projection sets on the whole, but there are probably blind spots. Someone might not be factoring in quarterback injury rates as much as they maybe should be. And then that can just the smallest bit of value because everyone's in just like hyper edge seeking mode. And I've done this with like ownership projections. Like this guy's only gonna be 6%. Like I'm gonna windmill him in and then he's 10%. And it's an awful play, you know? So like, I think we get overconfident with some of these inputs because it's like, holy cow, there's the edge. Let's go get it.
Yeah. Do you think ownership will get better this year? It seemed like it was like completely way off last year. And I mean, that's sort of a big part of my process is like trying to compare optimal rates to ownership, but I just felt like I could never get a feel on ownership.
It's been weird in other sports too. Yeah, there's been some off.
And I don't know if it's like a back and forth chicken and egg problem or something. Yeah, where people are seeing it and then adjusting and counter adjusting and that sort of
more
thing.
More people adjusting, yeah, and maybe what's the word where like the. You know, the sources kind of collide, you know,
condense
the market kind of condenses into a consensus could be an issue too. That's a really good topic.
It also seems too, and I know ETR has talked about this year, and I don't know if they've announced if they're going to do it officially or not, but having two different ownership sets for basically like smaller field, higher stake stuff, and then the large field, because I know when I pull in my stuff and I'll look at Osmo's, you know, ownership stuff compared to ETR's, and it's wildly different because I can tell that the finessing done by ETR is more a little bit on the steam, on what the industry is condensing on. There's a little more, you know, art to it. Whereas I can always tell by Osmo's, this looks like large field, Millie Maker, automated. What are people getting spit out from their optimizers? And there's always pretty big discrepancies between those numbers. And I do think that always like influences too. And it is that thing of the out leveling, right? Where everyone gets anchored to that initial batch. Holy cow, this guy's gonna only be like 22. And it's like, that was literally just run off of an optimizer algo predicting what it is. It doesn't actually represent how the field is going to react to it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'll say this about Sims. Like obviously it's designed so you can turn your brain off if you want to, but the best players are gonna use this and keep their brain turned on and try to identify whatever their sort of micro edge is. And I mean, it's just like what you're doing in best ball, Pete, where you're trying to stack these micro edges on top of each other. You're taking the SEM methodology, you're taking your stance on the game or set of games. You're trying to identify that spot where everyone's overconfident in this one area. And hopefully some of these tools are making life easier for you. And I think you could just set it and forget it and play the thing that the best lineups that it tells you to. But I think you're leaving EV on the table if you're turning your brain off. Like I think there's still a huge, you know, user component towards getting the most out of these types of products always has been, always will be.
You know, a site I'd like to see is someone actually comparing all the projections and ownership from all the pay sites and their accuracy.
That'd be fun. Cool.
Yeah.
People would probably subscribe to it. And
it would take a while.
Yeah.
Like you'd have to already have like 2 years of data, but yeah, that would be at least be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, even when they post, I'm pretty sure it might've been an internal thing, but I know Leone was like, you know, testing their ownership projections against other ownership sets and looking at who had the highest, whatever R squared on kind of their projection. So I know some sites probably do that internally for their own benchmarks, but some of that stuff would be fun to have publicly available. So like Justin, heading into this season and knowing that, you know, you just in the Sim Street, you have far more competition than you have in previous years. Like, what are you guys doing to stand out? What is your value prop? Why should people use Run the Sims over other Sim products that are now readily available?
Yeah, I mean, I think the contest sims is something that our audience has been asking us for a long time. And so I'm really happy to be able to deliver that. I'm not entirely sure how many other sites are doing contest sims for this current season. It's not a lot, but obviously this should help improve everyone's process. We made the Showdown product also. So we'll have this for like people who want to pay up for it. But we've made some awesome improvements to just our traditional like premium NFL product. We've added a Duke predictor for showdowns. So you'll be able to compare the frequency of which a lineup pops in the Sims to how frequently we anticipate it would be duped in a field of that exact same size as your number of Sims. So pretty easy way to cut off bad lineups and ensure that you're improving your edge that way. So, you know, I would imagine this like premium contest sim product is going to be for a very tiny percentage of even our very relatively small group of subscribers. But the baseline product is so much better. The optimizer's gotten way friendlier and way better in terms of what it can do. It's a lot more competitive with what's out there currently. And I think it all comes down to customizability. I think users enjoy the ability to tweak the things in their lineups that are, you know, causing different guys to pop towards the top or the bottom and have some control. So it allows you to like be subjectively objective in your process. And I think that's a happy place for DFS players to want to land, is just enough control and guardrails to help them make their stamp on the slate and still like come at it from a process standpoint.
Yeah.
From a price perspective, the way we started this conversation with, maybe we can end with this, is I think Stochastic has kind of probably anchored that price point at this point for most folks. So I think there's kind of two ways this can go. Tell me if I'm crazy, but either we just get this kind of stagnant price, you know, you put yours up for around the same, and then just everyone just, that's it. We all have, and then I think there's probably a couple other sites who are going to come out with their own sims too, and then may the best site win, or it, more of a race to the bottom. And they'll drop to 100, and somebody else will drop 75. And then and now you're just paying, it's like what you were paying originally for projections. It just comes with it.
Yeah.
So like your strategy then is, do I play the prices right here and beat them to the punch, or just go with the flow and go with the status quo somewhere around what everyone would expect and just leave it there and see what happens. I don't know what I would do if I own one of these companies. What do you guys think?
I want Pete's perspective.
I don't own one of these companies here, Justin. This one's for you.
Yeah, no, I think undercutting the competition obviously makes a ton of sense in terms of capturing market share. But I do think you want to, I mean, this is a high dollar product, honestly. It should show its worth. I mean, I think you could justify charging well north of what Stochastic is charging for theirs, or whoever else has one right now too. So yeah, now I imagine we'll probably come under the Stochastic price.
I was going to give you a hypothetical, and let's say you had just launched this site, and so you can think through kind of like long term what would be more valuable. What would you rather have in year one? 100 subs paying $1,000, so that's $100,000 you bring in, or 1,000 subs paying $50, so half the revenue, $50,000, but you have 900. More subs. Which one would you take?
It just depends on your time horizon. If you want to exit, you'll take the 1,000 subs. If you want to stay and play the long game, you'll take the smaller number, higher dollar, and play the profit game. So given where we're at right now, give me the profit game.
Because it probably, in the reason you can play devil's advocate to that pretty easily, it's probably going to be a lot harder to get that 1,000 to ever pay more than $50. Yeah. Where you can probably either lower the price a little bit on the 100 and keep bringing in more people. It is an interesting thing, I think, the anchoring effect for prices too, where people are like, hey, and even we saw it in the chat with PSU earlier, we're like, why would I pay $350 like that? I can pay $49 for my draft guide or whatever. I just think it is an interesting thought experiment.
Yeah, I would have really liked it if Alex priced this thing about $500 a month a few months ago. It'd be fantastic for everyone.
I swear to God, I was just gonna say that. Like, I think they should have priced it at $500, and then, you know, it would be we'd be talking like a very small pool of guys who are probably already pretty good, and they'll just be messing with the Sims because they don't have the coding experience, or they don't want to deal with hiring someone to build them something. They probably, most of them, I think, didn't even know how to do it. Now it's pretty obvious, but in hindsight, it's everything's obvious. So, yeah, if they would have done like $500, and I know they had a big internal discussion on the price point. So, like, man, I don't know. It's tough. We're gonna talk about maybe next week again. Is like, at what point, like, can you even realistically expect people to buy this product when there's so many Sims out there, and you add in all the costs now associated with getting competitive info?
Right.
It's getting harder and harder to make a living doing this type of business. I mean, the big companies are getting a little bit bigger, and it really is. Like, I'm feeling the pressures, sort of like market pressures, a bit more now than I did when we were launching. And you know, it's tough. It's tough to know exactly what do you want your stamp on the industry to be. And I think for right now, we just want to keep making a really good product to what's probably a pretty hardcore user base. Like that's who we've always been, is catering to like that 90th percentile and above type of DFS player. And I think that's who we'll continue to be.
I mean, I think I've said this before, but like for the sites too, and you know, in a perfect world, it's like even non sim stuff, right? Just like purely projections. So like someone like Brian, you know, going around and kind of aggregating if he's pulling projections or wants to see ETRs, like ETR in a perfect world would probably charge Brian more than they charge like an average person who just gets like their draft guide or whatever. Like they know how Brian is leveraging and using these. Cause like in a perfect world, how it would probably be if there was a way to match it to your DFS volume. So you Absolutely. Scrape all the FanDuel, DraftKings, all that, and be like, Brian's playing X amount of entries. His sub is a percentage of that. They come up with a percentage. And then the guy who's playing $3, 20 max, you know, and putting $60 in play, like he literally cannot justify paying $350 for that. But you would probably still want him as a customer charging him $30 for that product or whatever.
Yeah, I tweeted something similar to this. Like the dream DFS product equilibrium is where every DFS site is tied into everyone's DraftKings account and is getting like 10% free roll on the net profits for the year from that customer that just goes back to them.
Right. So yeah.
That would be the dream. And I'd put our money where our mouth is when it comes to that. I think that would be a net positive for our company. I don't know if it'd be a net positive for it wouldn't be a net positive for a lot of companies. So I think that would be ultimately awesome. It'll never happen in a million years for lots of reasons, but it's a fun thought experiment.
I think the real one, another solution would be DraftKings needs to lower the rake significantly. Things will never happen.
And everyone can all rally around, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. If you want to run for DFS president, just say no more rake. And I think you could just get elected just right away. Like the kids in high school who would run for student body president and just promise free stuff. And then they would always win.
Vending machines in every class.
Seriously, a kid with one of my speeches, there's these poor girls that went up in my high school and they, you know, like they're shaking and reading their minute long speech. And this one bro comes up and is just like free stuff. And everyone just like cheering and just votes him in. Justin, let the people know if they do want to check out Run the Sims. I of course, full disclosure, I've worked with you guys for a couple of years. You can get, is it 10% off any of the packages with promo code Pete?
Absolutely. 10% off anything. That'll include our new premium product once we launch that for 10% off. And yeah, so we're currently running $299 for the year for our traditional premium option. So that'll cover you all the way to the Super Bowl. I think that's a pretty strong value, honestly. It's $14 a week. And we have weekly and monthly options that are now available as well, 10% off. And price to be determined on this pro-level contest sim. So stay tuned for more information on that. But appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, we'll do a show again. You can maybe walk me through, you know, how to use some of the new stuff that's coming out. And we can get it on screen so people, myself included, asking for a friend, know how to use it.
For sure.
Brian, any final words on the state of Sims here? Maybe another tease of our show next week?
Next week we got, we got Ricky D coming on and possibly, I don't know if I want to say him unless he can make it for sure, but we're hoping Travis could come on too. And we'll have a little friendly debate over the state of gambling, of DFS.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, wild. We've had a, we'll have that show next week. And then the week after that, Brian, I will not be around because I'm heading out to Vegas on that Thursday. And then, you know, by the time we get touch base again, the following Thursday, we'll be, you know, off to the races in the NFL season. We'll be fast approaching week two. So time is flying here. I've had a really fun summer of shows here. If you missed last week, we talked with Jeremy Levine, the CEO of Underdog, talking about some of the legal hurdles they're dealing with right now in the sports betting space. And Justin, the way I naturally now have to end all of these interviews, team Run Pure Sports, not to be, you know, mistaken for RTS, it is RPS, or Team Ship It Nation. Where do you fall in the great debate?
I wish I had a little hat that I could pull on like a college recruit or something. But,
I actually do.
Nah, man. Run the Sims is officially a member of Team Ship It Nation.
Okay, here we go.
We're planting our flag in the sand, tying our wagons to Tambo and Hoop. I had a good chat with those guys the other day, and they're going to be using our stuff on their Showdown streams. And so we got a nice little partnership brewing. Excited to announce that. So you couldn't have teamed me up any better than that, Pete. That was almost like a script.
Yeah, just make sure you use it promo code Pete, not promo code Ship It, though, if you're watching this show. All right, appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat. Thanks again to PSU fans and Fear My Turtle. Oh, I said Fear My Turtle because I have Tuttle on my mind. Turtle for coming on and letting us interrogate them about their ETR arrangement. And thank you to Justin coming on and talking Sims with us. Like I said, we'll be back next week with another show. We will see you guys Thursday for next week's Lulz with as we talk about the future of the DFS space. We'll see you then.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.